Good morning. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of the Psalms, to the 100th Psalm. As Brother Dave told you this morning, we are going to be thinking about thankfulness and thanksgiving. You know, for the Christian, every day should be thanksgiving. But just to remind some of you, if you've forgotten, there is a national holiday this week. And I would say, just in my own lifetime, it seems like that there's been some de-emphasis, if you will, on the holiday of Thanksgiving. I don't know if those of you that are my age and older have noticed that. But you know, it seems that Thanksgiving doesn't lend itself quite as well to marketing, unless you're a grocery store, as some of our other holidays. We see all the decorations and candy for Thanksgiving, and then it seems the stores move quickly to marketing Christmas, which has very little to do with the birth of the Son of God, but more to do with Santa Claus and the gifts under the tree. But in the spirit of this particular week and season, I felt it would be appropriate for us to stop and think a little bit about thanks and thanksgiving and who we should be thankful to and why, and perhaps how we might be ambassadors of Christ in our own culture as we would demonstrate that in our own lives, not just this week and this holiday, but every day. I know the 100th Psalm is hopefully a psalm that is familiar to many of us, probably one of those that we read too fast, as we're often reminded. But let's just open this morning by reading together Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. We pray that the word of God would go forth and touch our hearts. We pray that you would hide the speaker behind the cross and behind the word of God this morning as we would seek to glorify you and none others. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You know, again, this is a psalm that's familiar to us, and I believe that it does remind us of the attitude that we are to demonstrate before God. When we look over some of the words here, joyful, gladness, thanksgiving, praise. You know, we are such a blessed people. We are such a blessed people, and we should be so thankful. We've been reminded of that in some of the hymns that we've been singing this morning. And this psalm reminds us of just a few of the reasons that we have to be thankful. We were reminded this morning at the Lord's Supper that He is worthy because He is God and He is our Creator. He sustains us and He protects us. We see that here, that know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we're like the sheep that the shepherd takes care of. And we recognize that God is our Creator. And then we see in verse 5, we are reminded that the Lord is good and that His mercy is everlasting and that His truth is everlasting. We sang the great hymn earlier, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and We're reminded that it is based on the passage we read in Lamentations chapter 3, where it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. And we are reminded that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Just the fact that we are not consumed in judgment at any given time in the flame of fire, that in itself is a great mercy from God that we should never take for granted. You know, we sang in the last song that we sang, and I don't remember the exact words, but it had something to do with just a reminder of praise and thanksgiving as the sun was coming up in the morning. And we are reminded that God created all that. And when you think about the fact that in this day and age that we are immersed in a culture where most people don't necessarily believe that. When they look up at the sun and the moon and the stars, they don't necessarily believe that there was a God that created all that. That it just came into being by some kind of a big bang, that something came into being out of nothing. And that we are not created in the image of God, but that we are just the result of happen chance evolution. And you know, if you subscribe to that in any manner, then where is the attitude of thankfulness? If there's no one to be thankful to, if indeed we are just here by accident, then we lose a lot of that. And I think we have seen that in the culture in which we live. There is more and more this attitude of entitlement. I get something because I deserve it. There is no one to be thankful to. And there is no source of those blessings. In fact, they are just there because of happen chance. You know, I thought about it just as an analogy in my own life. I was blessed with the opportunity to go to college and dental school. And I was blessed with an opportunity. I was the first in my family to have the opportunity to get a degree from a four-year institution and then go on to dental school, and largely because of the sacrifice of my parents. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to focus on my studies, to make the grades that needed to be made in order to get the opportunity to go to dental school, because my parents worked hard. And when you think about that, and the opportunity that I was thinking about was that I recognized that my account at the University of North Carolina was being paid because my parents worked hard to put that money there. If I hadn't realized that, if I had just thought that somehow that just came from nothing, or that I was somehow entitled to that, there would have been no attitude of thankfulness. It was only because I realized that it was because of a lifetime of hard work that my parents were willing to put the money aside and pay that money out, that I would have an opportunity to do something that they did not have the opportunity to do. So when you think about that little analogy, and it might be a poor analogy, but think about that in our own culture. Where is the attitude of thankfulness if we do not understand that there is a blesser who provides the blessings? That there is a divine blesser, a divine giver, a divine creator. And Psalm 100 reminds us of that. You know, thankfulness and thanks are often expressed in the Bible, and we see that giving thanks to the Lord is actually directly mentioned at least 75 times in Scripture. And we see it throughout the Psalms in particular. Psalms often express praise and thanksgiving unto God, recognizing God for who He is. And I just want to look at a few of those. You don't have to turn there. I'm gonna go rather quickly through it. But we are reminded, and for instance, in Psalm 92 begins, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." So that is something good to do. It is something that we should do. It is something that believers ought to do. Give thanks to the Lord. And Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." So as we were reminded in Psalm 100, because He is good. You know, you and I, in and of ourselves, we're not good. We were reminded this morning in the Lord's Supper that we are not worthy. We are not entitled. We are not worthy. We are not good in and of ourselves. But we have a standing before God that is good. We have been justified by God. We have been declared to be righteous only because of the shed blood and the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the cross of Calvary. And we talked about that this morning at the Lord's Supper. And if we recognize that, if we recognize the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is and for what He has done, then how can we help but have an attitude of thankfulness? You know, it is repeated throughout the Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. As we said earlier, His mercies are new every morning. His mercy endures forever. And that is repeated twice again in Psalm 118. We can be thankful for God's mercy to us that endures forever. You know, the Lord is seeking those who will worship Him. And part of worship is being thankful. In Psalm 107, there are five times when it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works." You see, the Lord is looking for worshipers. Oh, that men would give thanks. Why? Because He is good and because of His wonderful works, His goodness and His being Creator. And so we were reminded about His wonderful works of creation. You know, we are also reminded that we are to be imitators of God. We are to be godly. To be godly is to be God-like, is to imitate Him. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we read this. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Giving of thanks. So we see there that as being imitators of God, as being God-like, we should be givers of thanks. And we are told later in Ephesians 5 and in other places that we should give thanks in all things. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to give thanks for some things. Somebody gives us something we really like and we're thankful for it. And sometimes we can be guilty of looking at God in the same way. You know, we only need to thank Him when we see something of substance that we think that He has particularly provided to us that is new. We forget about those mercies that are new every morning. We forget that He does give us our daily bread. We forget that all of the substance of life that we have, we owe to Him. We can be guilty of thinking that, well, it's just because of our own abilities. And sometimes we forget that even those have been given to us by God. But we are reminded later in Ephesians 5 and verse 20 that we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always and for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And of course we know Romans 8:28. Where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." You know, as usual, I'm a poor example and a poor analogy, but I thought about this in my own life yesterday. Some of you know that I was a candidate for one of the highest offices in the General Assembly. And the fact of the matter is that I didn't win. There were a lot of good candidates yesterday, and I was not the winner. But I'll tell you something, I didn't pray to win. I prayed for the Lord's will to be done. And if we do that, we will win no matter what. We win no matter what. And, you know, sometimes when things happen to us in life, it behooves us to think about finding the good in the result. And I can tell you that it didn't take me very long, even yesterday, rather than dwelling on the fact that I was not the winner in that particular election, there were a lot of good things that meant for me. It meant probably a lot less time and responsibility doing certain things, and it meant that I could devote those times and responsibilities to doing other very important things. It meant clarification for me into what my role should be and so forth. It meant that I probably would not have some of the expectations from others of doing things that might even end up being uncomfortable for me to do. So my point is this, not that I'm a very good example, but when things happen to us, it is important for us to be reminded that for those who are the called according to His purpose, now remember that, according to His purpose. Sometimes we think about our purposes and what I want. But if we truly see ourselves as being the called according to His purpose, and our prayer is truly for His will to be done, then how much easier for us is it to accept God's will and look for His will in our own lives and seek to follow that will? And I will tell you, there is a great peace and contentment that comes with that, and I know that many of you know that. The peace and contentment, when we talk about the peace that passes all human understanding, there is an element of that that means putting self-interest aside and recognize that God's interests come first, and that His will in my life is far more important, and that He understands the big picture. He sees tomorrow when you and I don't. He sees the big picture when you and I don't. And how many times in your life have you prayed for something to happen, and you could look back later with 20/20 vision to the past and be thankful that your prayer was not answered the way that you wanted it to be answered at the time? I will guarantee you that everybody in this room has experienced that. And for you young people, you will experience it more as you become more mature in age in this life, because it is true. God sees the big picture. And if we are all about conforming to His will for our lives, we will be able to see that picture better as well. You know, there are several examples in Scripture where the Bible provides a record of people thanking God. King Solomon, for instance, expressed gratitude for divine faithfulness and goodness. There are times whenever we are reminded about just thanking God for food. And I would encourage all of us to, you know, sometimes, you know, to say the grace, to be reminded every time we sit down for a meal just how important it is to recognize that the food before us is there because of the goodness and provision of God. You know, that may seem like a very simple thing, but I hope that we teach our young people at a very young age that provision is from God, and we should be thankful for it. We see times where King David thanked God after winning a battle, and other godly folks, when they had won a battle. We think of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, and just the great supernatural event that we saw there. We think of Gideon and how God pared down his army and used 300 men when, you know, it could have been 30,000. It could have been something that had built them up in themselves, and they would have thought, well, we did it because we had the massive army and it was all about us. And God said, no, we're going to take a whole lot less men, and we're going to let you see that it would have been impossible for you to do this in your own ability. And we're going to do it my way, and I'm going to receive the glory. You see, God deserves all the glory, and we don't. So how important is that? You know, sometimes we have great thoughts, and we have good intentions. And I thought, you know, as I prayed about the position that I was running for yesterday, as I talked with God about this, and I prayed for His will to be done, I thought, well, if it is your will for me to do this, there's some good opportunities there. There's some good influence that I can use for your behalf. And I was reminded of how King David wanted to build a house for God. You know, and he had good intentions. He wanted to glorify God. He loved God. The Bible tells us that David had a heart. He was a man after God's own heart. Don't we all want to be men and women after God's own heart? And sometimes we have a great plan and we think, well, God, you know, if you will allow me to do this or to have this or whatever, you know, I could use that for your glory. You know, I mean, how many of us here could say, you know, if we only had the great wealth of Bill Gates, how could we use that for God's glory? You know, how could we use it to build up, you know, CMML and missions around the world and, I mean, you know, Mountaintop Youth Camp and Pittsburgh Christian Village and all those things that we could do, you know, if God would just drop that pot of gold on us, you know, wouldn't that be something? But that's not necessarily God's plan for our life, is it? You know, we can say, God, I give it all to you. Whatever you give to me, we'll use it for your glory. And then it's God's will of what that will be. So we remind sometimes that even though we have the best of intentions and we want to use our gifts and our talents and our abilities and our wealth for God's glory, that sometimes God has a different plan. And it wasn't God's plan for David to build him a house. That was going to be Solomon's job to do. But God had other important things for David to do. And so we need to recognize that we are not always given the same role in the plan of God. We're not always given the same abilities and talents and opportunities. But we are to use what God gives us, and we are to be thankful. We are to be thankful for what God gives us. And we're not to be anxious. You know, Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." You know, God wants to hear from us. He wants our requests. He wants to know. He knows what we're thinking. Be sure about that. He knows what we're thinking before we think it. He knows all the thoughts that we could have had that we didn't have. He knows ultimately more about us than we will ever know ourselves. But He still wants to hear from us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants for us to talk to Him. He wants for us to listen to Him. So God wants us to not be anxious about things, but in everything, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to Him. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." In Jeremiah chapter 5, we read where people were rebuked for not thanking God for their harvest. So God actually rebuked them for not being a thankful people. In Luke chapter 19, the Lord Himself said that if people withheld their praise to God, that the stones themselves would have to cry out. And you know, part of praising God is expressing our thanksgiving to Him. And so we need to do that. He wants us to do that. He desires that. And as we said earlier, we are to give thanks at all times. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So we continue to see this linking of praise and thanksgiving. We praise God, we thank God. They go together. They go together. And then even we see in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we see that thanks is given in heaven. You know, thanking God is something that's going to be happening for eternity. And we see pictures of that in heaven. If you want to go there, we'll just look at a couple of passages real quickly. Revelation chapter 4, we look at this passage rather regularly at the Lord's Supper. We're thinking about before the throne of God. And Revelation 4, beginning with chapter 8, we see here the four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And so we see the thanks there coming from the four living creatures. And then we go over to Revelation chapter 11. And just breaking in there, beginning with verse 15, we see a time here that the seventh angel sounds, and there are loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Wow. What a glorious time that will be. But let's read the next verse, and it says, "And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned.'" So I just wanted us to see here that thankfulness to God is an attitude that will endure through eternity. From God's people, from the elders here, from the living creatures, from the angels in heaven, there is going to be thankfulness to God expressed simply because of who He is. Simply because of who He is. The God, the Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. The one who has great power and the one who will reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Simply because of who He is, He deserves our thanks and our praise and our thanksgiving. We do it to glorify Him because He is the one who is worthy. He is the one who is worthy. Thanking God is glorifying to Him. I want you to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And here we see in the Gospels an example that the Lord gives of thankfulness. And this is a story that I think is familiar to most of us. But I think we see something important here. And this is the story of the 10 lepers. And we know what happened there. One came back to give thanks. But let's just read a few verses here just to remind us. Luke 17 and beginning with verse 12. It says, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So we see here that giving thanks to God is glorifying to God. Very good example of where this foreigner, and we were foreigners, we were far off, we were separated from God with no hope of salvation, and God has redeemed us by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been brought near, as the Bible says. We are no longer foreigners. But here the foreigner was the one who came and gave glory to God by thanking Him. You know, in our world, sometimes thanks is kind of, I don't think we have any attorneys in the room, but most of you probably know what a quid pro quo arrangement is. It's like you do something for me and then I'll do something for you. It's real easy to be thankful when it's that. You know, "Well, you do this for me, well, thank you." Luke chapter 6. We see here that God does not operate according to the world's quid pro quo, if you will. We see here that indeed God loves the unthankful. God's love is unconditional. And God is kind to the unthankful. I'm going to break in here in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." Now look at verse 35. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Look at this. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So the Lord is unkind to the unthankful. You know, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 reminds us that the Lord makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and that he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, even those in our society who are not believers, even those who are unthankful, even those who don't even believe that God has anything to do with the sun and the rain, even to those who do not bow down to him as the Creator, and there are many, and they are the majority, God sends them the sun and the rain as well. He sends those blessings as well. He blesses the righteous and the unrighteous. And God is kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. So with all that in mind, I do want to take a few minutes and just think about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, as I said earlier, it does seem that there is less emphasis placed on Thanksgiving. You know, first of all, it seemed that our nation was more focused on being thankful to God. And then the message was kind of altered more towards being thankful to the Indians. And now there seems to be less mention of even being thankful at all, quite frankly. But I think it does behoove us to look back at our past a little bit and to be reminded of what those before us thought about the idea of Thanksgiving. And I hope that as you celebrate Thanksgiving this year, you will be reminded of that. So I would remind you that in 1789, our first president, the one who we often call the father of our country, that great man George Washington, issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation. And I just want to read it to you, because sometimes history is, let's just say, altered by those who would say that God has no place in the history of this nation, that he has no place in the public square. So they can have their opinions. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts. And folks, let's just read that proclamation, and I don't think it will be very difficult to leave to you to think about where George Washington and the founding fathers of the time thought that the thanks should go. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favor, able interpositions of His providence in the course and the conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase the science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand in the city of New York this third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. I think that speaks for itself. You know, some 74 years later, another president, at a low time in our nation during the war between the states, in 1863, issued a proclamation that Thanksgiving would become an annual celebration in the United States of America. Previous presidents had occasionally issued Thanksgiving proclamations, but it was not an annual event. But this is what Abraham Lincoln said in 1863. That year is drawing towards close, has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature, they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart that is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The law has been respected and obeyed. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. And while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he goes on to say this: I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance, and commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and to fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. It's interesting that if you study a little bit about the life of Abraham Lincoln, and you know a little bit of history, and I know one of our brothers here is quite a scholar when it comes to Civil War history. That would be Brother Randy Price. Probably has forgotten more than I know. But during the Thanksgiving Proclamation time in 1863 was a great pivotal point in Abraham Lincoln's life spiritually. You all probably know or may remember that during the first week of July that year was the Battle of Gettysburg. Some of us have visited that site. There was the loss of some 60,000 American lives. And as Lincoln was giving his famous Gettysburg Address later, it was the time when he was walking among the thousands of graves at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that he said that he committed his life to Jesus Christ. He explained to a friend like this. He said, "When I left Springfield to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not then a Christian. When I buried my son," and he lost his son during his presidency, he had a young son that died. "When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Jesus Christ." It was in that spirit that Abraham Lincoln then gave this Thanksgiving proclamation. And then I would take us back a little bit further to that first Thanksgiving celebration celebrated by the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock. Just to review a little bit of that history, the pilgrims had left Plymouth, England in early September of 1620. There were 102 people that risked everything they had. They risked their lives. They risked their families' lives on a very dangerous journey to the New World that was completely undeveloped. And they did it mainly because they wanted civil and religious liberty. They wanted the liberty to worship God. You know, the journey alone was about 3 months of conditions that were harsher than anything you and I will ever face. On December the 11th, just before disembarking their ship at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact, I won't take the time to read that. But once again, God is prominent in that compact. It was the first document of America's civil government and the first to introduce self-government in America. The first act of the pilgrims was to have a prayer service to thank God and to ask Him for continued protection. The ensuing winter was very harsh, and by spring nearly half of them had died. But the rest persevered, and with the assistance of the friendly Indians that they encountered, they reaped a very bountiful harvest the following summer. The pilgrims were so grateful that they declared a 3-day feast starting on December the 13th, 1621. Purpose was to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends of what God had accomplished in their lives. And this was actually not the first Thanksgiving celebrated in America. That would probably have been in Virginia in 1607 at Jamestown. It was certainly America's first Thanksgiving festival. Edward Winslow, who was one of the pilgrims, described the pilgrims' Thanksgiving in these words. He said, "Although it be not always so plentiful as it was this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are far from want." Now that was from a people that had left all the splendors and the glories of England and come to the New World and suffered immeasurably. Every family, I'm sure, was touched with death. And it doesn't take too much to go back and just look at some of what they encountered during that first year. You know, we could go on as far as studying American history, but I will tell you that it is recorded that many of our founding fathers wrote proclamations for a dedicated day of thanksgiving to God. Thomas Jefferson, when he was governor of Virginia, even before the winning of the American Revolution, John Hancock, when he was governor of Massachusetts, many of you will remember him as the one that signed his name in the big letters so King George would see that he wrote it, John Hancock, but he was the governor of Massachusetts, and he was another, and there were others. Richard Henry Lee, Samuel Adams, all made declarations during the Continental Congress during the Revolutionary War. We were birthed as a nation with an attitude of thanks to God, regardless what today's history books would say. And as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, as I said earlier, every day should be Thanksgiving for the Christian. There's no question about that. But I do think it's appropriate that we as a people, that we as families, and that we as a nation recognize this day and this season of Thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us collectively as a people in this nation. And I hope that as we will ensue to celebrate this current week, we will remember that and remember that it's not just about the turkey and the dressing and the cranberry sauce and the pumpkin pie. It's not just about the football games that will be going on. It's not just about getting together with family, and I love all those things. I'm very thankful. You know, David's home from college all this week, and, you know, Caroline will be off from school, and we'll have good quality family time together, and I'll probably watch a football game or two along the way, and I'm sure I'll get my fill of turkey and dressing. But as we do those things, we do it because of the liberty that God has given us. And hopefully we see the big picture, and the big reason for the holiday is not just so that we can sit back and kick back and relax with our family and our friends and enjoy entertainment, but we recognize what God has done for us. And we do it with that attitude of praise and thanksgiving. I would say in closing that how we express our thanks and whether we express our thanks says everything about us. God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't, you know, God is perfect, and God was perfectly content from eternity past with His Son long before you and I ever got here. We don't need to express the praise and thanksgiving because God needs it. Friends, we need to express our praise and thanksgiving because we need it. What we do says more about us. What if we never, think about this, what if we never thank people for what they have done for us? What does that say about us? I would suggest, children, thank your parents for what they do for you every day. Sometimes you can easily take that for granted. And as I said in my younger life, I was a child too. And I appreciate more than ever what my parents did for me. Parents, express to your children that you thank them for the things that they do. And for sometimes we can be guilty of being too critical and not handing out enough praise for the good things. So we need to do that. Husbands, express your appreciation to your wives for what they do for you and for your home and for your family. And wives, express your appreciation to your husbands. Sometimes we're guilty of not doing that. Sometimes we can be overly critical. And I would again say, do it for them. Do it for their benefit and do it for their enjoyment, but do it for yourself. Do it so that you have a heart that's right with God, because I truly think that it does say more about us than it does them. I do think that we should be encouragers of others. And I do believe that when we thank other people and show our appreciation for what they do, for what they mean to us, we should encourage others. We should be encouragers. And as we close, most importantly, we need to be thankful to God. God is the one who has given us everything. Husbands, He has given us our wives. Wives, He has given you your husbands. Parents, He has given us our children. Children, you had nothing to do with what family you were going to be placed in. He gave you your parents. He's given us our friends. He's given us Christian fellowship here at the Reidsville Bible Chapel. He's given us a lot that we can easily take for granted. And it would be our hope and prayer, not just during this Thanksgiving season, but every day, that we would show our thanks and praise and thanksgiving to God. So let us pray. Father, we pray that You would help us to be a thankful people, that You would help us to demonstrate the attitude of praise and thanksgiving through our words, through our deeds, through our attitudes. Father, we pray that You would help us to be encouragers of others. Father, we pray that although every day should be Thanksgiving in the life of a Christian, that even during this Thanksgiving season and this holiday, that our attention would be turned first and foremost towards our thankfulness to You, not only for what You have done, but most importantly for who You are. So, Father, I pray that this would be a rich and blessed season for every person and every family here. Father, we know that You seek those to be worshipers of You, and Father, we pray that it would be the attitude of every heart here, that we would want to be those worshipers. And Father, we just commit all that's been said, and we commit our hearts to you in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.